Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome. Our show this week will focus on those mysterious and oftentimes puzzling things called relationships. In particular, we're going to be talking about virtual business relationships, what they are, how they are both different and similar to real relationships, and most importantly, how to keep them healthy and fulfilling. My guests today are international relationship experts and best-selling authors Paul and Lane Cutright. Paul and Lane have been relationship educators for 32 years, and that's as long as they've been romantic partners. It's pretty good. They started their relationship as an experiment to find out what it really takes to keep the love and passion alive in a relationship, obviously. And then after talking to them, I can say that their experiment has been an outstanding success. I'm honored to know them. So their relationship education system focuses on authentic communication, enlightened conflict resolution, God knows we all need that, emotional well-being, healing, and consciously creating your ideal relationships. You can find their systems of books, audios, manuals, and multimedia programs on their website at paulandlane.com. So Paul and Lane, good morning and welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Good morning. We're glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you, Denise. We've been looking forward to this.
Me too, because let me tell you, relationships are difficult. You know this, I know this, but when it's a virtual relationship and you can't sometimes just look the person in the eye and say, what'd you just say to me? You know, it can get a little hairy. And you know, in my industry, being a web developer and the owner of a virtual assistant firm, everybody I work with is virtual. It has its own set of problems and solutions, and thank you for coming here to talk about that.
Great.
Our pleasure.
I bet you have a lot to add to the conversation. I'm wondering, you know, what are your pet peeves? Do you have pet peeves about virtual relationships?
No.
You lie.
None. You see what I mean about virtual relationships? You can't look them in the eye.
Yeah, that's right.
You're lying to me.
Except listen, I know better because we have one.
I know. For those of you who don't know, Paul and Lane and I do have a working relationship. I'm their web developer, and we just recently launched their gorgeous new website at paulandlane.com, and we'll be chatting about that too. But before we get too deep into what we're going to be talking about, can y'all kind of introduce yourselves and tell people what it is that you do and how you became to be these really well-known relationship experts?
Well, sure. We'll give it a stab.
Okay. We started out with desperation.
Yeah, we both came
from pain.
We came from very painful, dysfunctional relationships when we met. And we fell in love with one another, and we knew that if we didn't do something very differently than either of us had done in previous relationships, that our relationship with each other didn't stand a chance. And so, as you mentioned in the introduction, we began our relationship as an experiment to find out what does it take to keep love and passion and respect and interest alive in a relationship over time. And we found out. And developed a body of knowledge and a set of practices that we teach in our programs and with our students and clients. And we're happy to say that it has worked for many hundreds and even thousands of people that we've worked with over the years as well.
So we started out with a personal relationship, but because of our interest in learning more about, you know, what really makes relationships work, you know, we'd go to different classes and different places to learn things, and we hooked up with a seminar company, and we were avid students and had participated more than anybody else. And so when that business expanded, we were the most educated in the distinctions and principles, and we ended up working together as relationship educators. So I went from being a dental assistant to leading seminars in the space of about a year.
And I went from being unemployed, an unemployed artist and temporary worker in the financial district of San Francisco, to being a relationship educator and trainer and traveling around the country with Lane. And we were teaching as a couple from the front of the room to groups of 50 to 100 people weekend after weekend for several years.
As we were doing all our homework and learning as we went, we were getting to share the things that we were discovering, and it really worked, and people just kept showing up wanting more.
And so one of the things that we learned, I just want to say in the beginning of our conversation here, is that we had teachers and mentors and coaches. We had people who were helping us, mm-hmm. and that's a very important element in creating successful relationships, is having good, competent, experienced, compassionate, caring coaches and teachers and mentors.
Who can
I
teach
agree.
Out of their experience.
Right.
Well, you know, I tried to do it all by myself for the longest kind of time. I was literally existing in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I could do most of it myself. You know, I had the technical expertise. You know, I tried to build up my web development business and my virtual assistant business all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's not smart. I mean,
it's hard.
Really not.
Huh?
It's
yeah.
hard. It's impossible.
You know,
I hit a lot of walls on my way. And when I finally started opening up to, you know, reaching out and asking people for help and bringing people on board and actually doing some coaching and mentoring with other people, what a difference. I can't
yes.
even explain
yeah.
to you in an hour show. It just completely changed my life. So you guys are spot on. It's really important to, you know, coach with people who know what they're doing and who really have your best interest at heart.
It really is. You know,
so I didn't know that you guys had, I didn't know, Lane, that you were a dental assistant. I'm that's
yes,
amazing.
I was.
I
had
know,
no
idea.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I just had no idea that a career existed as a relationship educator. I mean, when they would give me tests in school, that didn't show up as a job choice.
No.
So I didn't grow up dreaming that I was going to be a relationship educator. And, you know, there was a destiny involved in this. And
yeah.
I'm really glad the way it turned out.
And if you follow your passion, it almost always works out well, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
You know, one of the metaphors that we use for helping people create relationships, and I think it's especially apt in our conversation about virtual relationships, is thinking of relationships as a garden. Most of us, in our culture anyway, kind of have an unconscious attitude that relationships just happen to us, and success depends upon being good-looking enough or rich enough or in the right place at the right time or knowing somebody or some circumstances outside of us. And
mm-hmm.
that certainly didn't work for me and Lane before we
well,
met
I
each other.
Well, I think to some degree it's true to some degree, but it can't be your fallback position.
Right, exactly. And the external circumstances are generated out of our beliefs and our feelings and our attitudes that are born of our childhood and our history. And so thinking of a relationship as a garden means that we create it ourselves with certain tools and principles. And you wouldn't go out to your yard and holler at your yard, "Give me vegetables, give me flowers," without tilling the soil and planting seeds and using fertilizer and watering it and giving it sunshine and making sure that the weeds are pulled and taking care of the garden if you want to have a beautiful flower garden or a good harvest. And in principle, that's what people are doing with their relationships. They're kind of saying, give me a good relationship, without understanding what is involved in actually creating the conditions necessary to have a good, successful relationship.
I think, Paul, it's the distinction between using a relationship to get your needs met and taking care of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it just works so much better when people have the idea that relationships need care, and the better care I take of it, the more bountiful and pleasing the harvest will be. And
yeah,
if we think of our relationships like that, it really tends to turn out a whole lot better.
Yeah.
Well, even of those of us who work virtually, I mean, you and I have worked virtually together for months now.
Uh-huh.
We have had to really craft a relationship that is different from our normal relationships, no question about it.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I'd like to kind of address that, because we have a lot of people who listen to this show and they're trying to either be virtual assistants, or they are virtual assistants, or they're coaches, or, you know, they're doing something online. Everybody who listens to the show is an entrepreneur of some description online,
mm-hmm.
and they do struggle. Some of them really say, well, you know, I just can't get through to this person, or I can't get so-and-so to answer their phone. That's a bad thing to do, by the way. Answer
mm-hmm.
your phone. Even if you don't have a good message to give, answer the phone. Say, no, I didn't get it done, you know, or no, I can't do this, but don't ignore people. And I'd kind of like you to address that. How do you really get past that? And I know in a virtual relationship, if you, it's almost easy to ignore people sometimes because they're not in front of you yelling to give you vegetables or or say, feed me or something. So, you know, you almost have to be in some ways extra careful with a virtual relationship. And what advice would you have for that?
Yeah, you do. It's a different kind of garden, if you will, and requires extra care to take care of and nurture and grow the relationship, simply because you don't see each other face-to-face. It is easy to ignore communication and put off relating in a way that is going to forward the relationship. So the lack of personal face-to-face body time is a significant piece of a virtual relationship.
Yeah. And it causes people to relate with one another more as their objects to fulfill your needs, rather than their real people with real feelings. It's almost like when you're driving a car, you know how you'll relate to other drivers on the road, how you'll speak to them. In the privacy
kind
of your
way.
Own car? Yeah. You'll speak to them in the privacy of your own car in a way you would never speak to someone face-to-face.
People
do
never
that
call people
email.
Morons to their face, but I do.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. But people do it through email because they're busy, they're being on purpose, and they have a communication to send, and so they don't relate to the person they're communicating to. They're just thinking about getting their thoughts out and pressing send. And so a lot of
what would you suggest they
occur.
Do? Yeah, that you're right. So what would you advise in a situation like that? Because, for instance, you're going to laugh. A friend of mine who is also a client is in the chat room harassing me. And when I said earlier, you know, you must answer your phone and you really need to, you know, talk with people, I got a message that said, you always ignore me and you never answer your phone, which is not true. Oh, now she says, just kidding. she's harassing me. And I'm going to tell you who she is, too. But anyway, my question is, it can get very, very busy for us. I mean, most people who are doing what I do and what you do, we get hundreds of emails every day. And that's not spam. That's actual emails.
Right.
So do you have some advice for people? Maybe they should take some time and just set aside time. What would you tell people to do to cope with
avoid being terse. Include greetings and closes at the beginning of a communication trail. when you're communicating back and forth, when you're communicating some, say, hi, John, dear Mary, it's been a while since, it's like there's an opening greeting. Like when you meet a real person, you say hello. You just don't walk up to somebody and say, make this deposit. You don't walk up to somebody and tell them what to do. You say hello, and you say goodbye. And a lot of times people, they'll just send out a brief little blip. And let's face it, it doesn't take that much extra time to type four more words. Dear, put in a name. Thank you,
mm-hmm.
Say your name. So that can be a great social lubricant.
Absolutely. And, in the first, one or two exchanges, that's important to do. But if there's, a back and forth going on, then you don't need to do that after you have established the
rapport
in the beginning mm-hmm. of the communication, no matter how well you know that person. Like Lane said, it's like seeing them for the first time. You don't skip over, hi, how are you?
No. Well, I'm going to have to go through my emails and see if I'm guilty of that. I hope I'm not. I suspect.
Well, in my experience with you, you're not.
But you have to say that because I can hang up. See, it's a virtual.
But no, truly, it is my experience with you and with our other wonderful VA, Brenda. She takes very good care of our relationship by including that kind of greeting and closing, mm-hmm. and that's just a part of our relationship with each other as a professional working relationship. And it generates a feeling of care and respect in the relationship that's really important. And I've worked with other VAs and other people virtually. We've been online for 10 years, and so we're pretty steeped in this environment and virtual culture. And it's one of our pet peeves. I cannot tell you how many times we have had communications with people that we've received where there's no greeting. It's just like, do this, or it's just...
Oh, yeah.
It's rude and bossy. And I'm sure that they don't intend to do it that way. They just are thinking, they need to know that I want this. And they press send. But they're not relating to us as real people when they mm-hmm. when they communicate via email, because they can't see our face. And
right.
So remembering that when you're communicating through email with your clients, these are real people with real feelings who tend to make interpretations, and they all like to feel important and cared for and understood.
Excellent points. So let me ask you this. For those of us who have developed virtual online relationships with clients and colleagues, business associates, and these days even friends, I email my friends way more often than I actually call them anymore. But all that being said, there are certain critical distinctions and skills that can allow those relationships to flourish and prosper. Can you define those distinctions?
Well, I think one thing to understand about virtual relationships and any kind of relationship, really, is that all relationships go through five stages. And the first stage is attraction. And like in our relationship, our professional relationship, for example, we were looking for someone who could design a WordPress site and blog for us, a makeover of our existing site. And I had asked our other VA, Brenda, if she could help us do some research so I could interview some people. And so you and I had a conversation early on, and there I liked you. There was a connection. There was an attraction. There was some rapport. Just because of the way you communicated with me and the energy vibe I got from you, I thought, I would really like to work with this person.
In fact, that's the reason you chose her, because you interviewed several people,
uh-huh.
and what caused you to choose her was the way you felt when you talked to her on the phone.
Exactly.
Because you talked to other people that had comparable skills,
mm-hmm.
But energetically, they really put you off and you couldn't imagine having to work with them.
Right. I wouldn't want to. And so you had the elements that I was looking for that made me feel good. That, oh, this will be fun working with this person. Not only is she talented and professionally competent, but I really like her. And I think that's an important consideration in building a professional relationship with someone.
So in the attraction, in the attraction stage, what you want to do is consciously intend to bring out the best in another person, you know, to set them at ease, to respond to them as though what they want and think is important to you. So you're putting your best foot forward and you're taking care. You're being a real person and responding to them like that, not making assumptions, generating rapport. Bringing out the best in one another is the best way to start a relationship.
But inevitably, the second stage of relationships is always power struggle. And it's inevitable, it's predictable, it's recurrent as the relationship grows and deeper levels of commitment are engaged in the relationship. And understanding that it is predictable and that it doesn't mean anything bad about the relationship can, if you have the skills necessary to move through power struggle to the next stage, which is cooperation, then it's not a big deal.
After cooperation, there's synergy, but power struggle tends to be the place where most people get stuck because it's the place where our unresolved history shows up in the present. And we become concerned because more trust is required. I'm going to write somebody a big check and I've never met them before.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to entrust them with my livelihood. You know, there's something at stake. I need to be able to trust them. If I've ever been disappointed or hurt or betrayed by people that I trusted, that can reassert itself in this new relationship. So it shows up as kind of testing the waters and, you know, and wondering, are they going to do things on time? Are they going to keep their promises? Are they going to respond to my emails? Can I trust them to take care of our relationship is the big question. And so when you get to making commitments, that tends to move the relationship forward into the trust-building stage or the power struggle stage where you're looking at, is it safe for me to make this commitment? And
well,
if you can do that, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to ask you about the power struggle, and you gave a little bit of a, I think you kind of answered my question. You gave a little bit of a you know, scenario there. Do you have any, without, you know, naming names, do you have any that you can kind of reach back into in your own experiences with people virtually that you had to overcome and that they had to overcome?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, gosh. Leave me out of this one, okay?
No, it didn't have, it didn't show up. We breezed through the power struggle stage or the trust building stage with you.
Okay.
We have not committed to certain relationships with professional people because they wanted us to pay them up front before they had demonstrated their trustworthiness to us.
Mm.
They were requiring a bigger commitment than the trust built in the relationship allowed us to make. And when people allowed us to build trust and get an experience of them, then we could write the big check without a problem because we had some history together. But when you've had a two-minute conversation and you've gone through somebody's website and you're getting ready to make a big commitment, you're ready to entrust them with things that are very important to you and pay big money for it, you want to be able to wade in deeply. So when coaches or virtual assistants want a really big commitment to a process before trust is built, they can lose an account. And people have lost us as clients. Yeah.
And,
well,
you know,
it's pretty crazy to say to somebody, well, I'm really good, I can do all of these things, and, you know, go ahead and pay me now. Are you kidding me?
Right.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah. But, you know, but people do that. One of the moves that we have, that we teach our clients and our students, and that we use ourselves, and you have an experience of this, and so does Brenda, because it's something that we did with you. A while back, I inadvertently broke a promise with Brenda. I had told her that I was going to do something, we were going to do something, that didn't happen, that caused her concern and inconvenience and upset, and could have seriously broken trust in our relationship. And this is a relationship that's very important to us. And that's what we call the amendment system, that when trust is broken or there's been some kind of breach that deepens power struggle in the relationship, the person who transgressed, if you will, if they will not just say, oh, I'm sorry, doesn't mean anything. It doesn't compensate the person for the emotional upset that they may have had, or the financial impact that may have occurred for them, or impact in any other way. So saying I'm sorry isn't enough without what we would say balancing the energy that became imbalanced. And so it behooves the person who broke an agreement, for example, to offer something called an amendment to restore balance and harmony and rebuild trust in the relationship. And so
it's a way of taking extra special care of a relationship mm-hmm. that's important to you. You don't just say, I'm sorry, and move on.
Right.
You do something to rebuild the trust.
And usually
I need to interject here because I'll forget. When Paul and I had talked about this on the phone one day, because during the web bill we talked about a lot of different things and the processes that y'all go through, and you know, web development isn't just, okay, put up a page. We need to really know what you're thinking. We almost become like your psychologist for a short term. It's an interesting process. But Paul and I were talking about this particular topic one day, and I was so fascinated. I wrote it down, and I was discussing it with my husband when he got home that night. And he looked at me, he said, that's brilliant. I mean, we knew it kind of, sort of, but we didn't really do it. And he said, you know, you never know what you're going to learn from somebody every day. And I don't know if I told you thank you, Paul, but that was such a brilliant conversation. And I really did appreciate it.
Well, thank you. No, I didn't know that you had a conversation about that with your husband. That's
I was,
very gratifying.
I was so astonished by it. I had to, you know, to share with him. He's like, wow. And he's not a wow kind of a guy. So,
well, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm recalling, you know, this conversation that we're having for this show was scheduled for last month, and I
no, we
blew
had a
it.
Tech problem. No, we had a tech problem on that.
Yeah, well, yes, we did have a technical problem, and I was a part of the technical problem. So one of the things that happened was I, to the extent that I had any thing to do with it or any responsibility for it, you know, I offered you an amendment. Maybe it wasn't totally necessary because there was a technical part to it, but you know, our relationship with you is important, and I wasn't wanting you to feel bad or feel that in this situation that I had let you down or broken some kind of an agreement or anything like that.
No, you didn't. Not at all.
So, nonetheless, I offered you an amendment because some people like you are like they're really nice. But because we have a virtual relationship, we've never met face to face, we don't have a lot of history in our relationship, I wanted to make sure that in case you were just being nice, that I could do something that would
nice.
Take care of the relationship and to restore harmony, similar to the circumstance with Brenda. you know, and what I did is I gave Brenda one of my photographs, a print shipped to her, and the same thing for you. Had you made a photograph for you that you had once said that you really liked this picture.
I love it, yeah.
And had it shipped to you. And that, just that kind of a gesture is the essence of the amendment system. It's like doing something for the person that you know that they will like, that they will appreciate, that essentially erases and wipes out any residual bad feeling or distrust that could be carried
into
the future. Concern, exactly.
So what it does is it essentially, if, you know, if you haven't kept an agreement, if you haven't returned somebody's phone call, you've generated
a
yucky, right.
You have created
a yucky feeling for that person over there. So if you've created a yucky feeling, whether it was intentional or not, you did it. They had a yucky feeling and you're partially responsible. Balance it out by giving them a good feeling. How can you give that person a good feeling? Can you send them a handwritten card? Can you send them a gift? Can you send them a special thing where you acknowledge why you value the relationship and really express your appreciation to them? There are like an infinite ways, a number of ways that we can add good feelings to a relationship if we know that adding good feelings is an important thing to do and essential
Absolutely.
In taking care of a relationship. So
Absolutely.
It's not rocket science.
No, but you know, I think common courtesy, because we're so hurried and harried these days, and honestly, courtesy is not something, I live in the South, so we're a little bit more courteous here, but just marginally. You know, courtesy, I think, is something that's kind of gone the way of the dodo, which is, it's a shame. It really is.
It is, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because Lane and I were talking about that very topic this morning. It's like, what's happened to people's manners? You know, I was raised in the South, and I was taught manners as a child. I was taught to say, thank you, yes, ma'am, no, sir, and
right.
to show respect in how I spoke and related with people. And not only in virtual relationships, but just ordinary common socializing, so much of that seems to be missing. And it carries over into virtual relationships.
It does.
And it's a dying art.
It carries over into every... Honestly, you're right, it is. I mean, just give you an example. I'm fairly bloody-minded anyway, so all you have to do is just kind of tick me off once and I just don't come back. But I don't like to shop, and anybody who knows me understands that shopping is a burden to me. I don't enjoy it. It's something that I do because I just absolutely have to go get something. And I walked into a little store the other day. The girl was on the phone, her cell phone, chatting away at the top of her lungs, didn't acknowledge that I was in the store. And not only that, she was snapping her gum. How long do you think I stayed in that store?
Yeah,
you did a 180
turn on my heel. Exactly, long enough to turn on my heel and walk out. I'm not staying. And I think people, even virtual relationships, don't understand. And that's an extreme example, I understand. But if you get enough of these things with somebody, you walk on your heel. And the internet being what it is, you can do bad reviews. You can talk to people. We all know one another, believe it or not. And you have to be so careful. So even if you're, and I wanted to ask y'all about this, even if you're in a virtual relationship that is basically ending, maybe the project is done, or you know the connection is just kind of waning for whatever very legitimate reasons, how do you still keep in touch with that person? You always want to keep that relationship alive to some degree. I mean, you really do. You don't want to form these relationships and then say, well, been nice knowing you. Here's your new website. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
So what do you do there?
You have to make a list of who they are, because if they're not on your common path, every day it's easy for us to forget about virtual relationships. We don't bump into these people when we go to the coffee shop or step outside our door.
Right.
So we have to find a way of keeping them as real people present for us. you know,
and that's not by forwarding bad jokes. I mean, you don't want to.
No.
Don't put me on your junk list.
Yeah.
It's great if you can get the photograph of a person that you have a virtual relationship with. If you can make a list of relationships that you want to take care of, and so that it's present for you and that you review it. And it's challenging to do when you're on purpose, but what's true is if you don't take care of your relationship with your past clients, you don't get the same level of, you don't maintain the same level of affinity, you don't mm-hmm. get referrals. So how
right.
do you nurture a relationship when you don't have a job with them anymore? So if you write down who those people are, that these people are important to me, I want to take care of the relationship, I want to nurture it, then at least it's present for you. And then you have to look at, well, what are my favorite ways of taking care of relationships? I have, my editor is really, really good at this. You know, she sends me gift baskets, like on my birthday or at Christmas. And it's like I get something that comes through my front door. I can touch it. It mm-hmm. comes from her. All the little goodies in that basket, I relate with her. I feel appreciated and cared for and like she's thinking about me. So you want to show people that you're thinking about them even though you're not actively participating with them the way you were when you were doing a project.
Right. Right. Well, I felt that way when the picture came to the door. I was so excited. I mean, I ran to the door. I ran to the kitchen. I got a knife. I was slicing that box open. I was jumping up and down. Now it's on my wall in my office. I see it every day. I love that picture, and I'm so grateful for it.
Thank you.
And it makes Paul present for you in a different kind of way, doesn't it?
Right. Both of you, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's really important. But just for, you know, maintaining client relationships, which is what you were asking about, or virtual
mm-hmm.
relationships that are important to you, whether it's a client or not, for some reason
right.
you want to maintain a connection with this person, doesn't always have to be something that comes to their door and that they can touch and feel. Just sending an email, I found this website, I thought of you, I thought you might like
mm-hmm.
to see it. Here's an article, you know, about your field, I thought you might be interested in reading, that kind of thing.
Right.
When I get things like that from people, I know I was thought of.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel good.
You're not forgotten.
Not forgotten.
Right.
And it's challenging to do. I mean, we are relationship experts. We teach about this stuff, and we are living in a time of such incredible complexity. There are so many things pulling at our attention. We receive, as Americans, over, I think the latest count was 5,000 marketing messages a day, either on the internet or the television or driving around. There are so many things pulling at our attention. It is, and it's even more so on the internet, it's challenging to do the things that we're talking about, which is why we say they take extra care.
You have
mm-hmm.
to get over feeling like taking care of relationships is a chore. It's just one more thing to do. And so finding ways of making it a nurturing experience for yourself as you are nurturing your relationships with clients. Make it special, make it enjoyable, put some nice music on, you know, turn your love dial up. Somehow you've got to do something to intentionally make it a beautiful experience, expressing your love and your appreciation and your desire to contribute to a person who is important to you should be fun. It shouldn't
mm-hmm.
be a thing that you rush through. And if
right.
we all do that, we would just have a desolate life. You know, we make our lives beautiful by how we care for others and feel cared for by them. So I think that, you know, you start with a list, but then you have to make it a rewarding experience. You can't experience it as a chore because people feel it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And like you say, if you're terse, you said that earlier, which really caught my attention. I schedule everything. When I need to call somebody or y'all or or Brenda, your other VA, or whatever I need to do, I'm scheduled to within an inch of my life. Mm-hmm. But I genuinely hope that I don't rush through these things when I'm actually speaking with you or emailing you guys. It's a line item, no question about it. But that's just so I can remember that I need to
right.
call you.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go, okay, Paul, do this. Bye. Yeah, see ya.
Yeah. You got
nice
that,
day.
Kiddo? Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, and at the end of it, have a nice day.
Right.
So you don't want to do that.
One of the things in this conversation we're having here, one of the things I'm thinking about is before the internet, when people did business face-to-face, I mean, we had a seminar business. I'm sure there were things that you did before you had your virtual business. We would meet mm-hmm. people for dinner or lunch or coffee and would have a face-to-face meeting with our colleagues, with our clients, with prospects, you know, potential clients. We would meet them and they would get our card or our
right.
paper
right.
brochure, and we would talk to them. And one of my favorite shows on television is Mad Men, which
I've
is about...
I've never seen that.
Oh, it's just brilliant.
My husband likes it. I've never seen it. Must
it
be
is.
A man show.
Oh, well, it's really about women's issues.
Actually, it is.
In the, you know, the
well,
beginning of the 60s and how women, their role in society shifted and affected advertising. But it's very, very interesting. Go ahead, Paul. You had a point you wanted to make.
Sorry.
Well, a lot of it is about... an advertising agency on Madison Avenue in the early 60s, and, you know, big clients, and they wine and dine their clients. They, you know, out to lunch, they bring them into the office. And it's so interesting. All of the executives there have a full bar in their office, and they're
right.
drinking all the time. But there was a lot of socializing in the course of doing business with prospects and current clients that doesn't happen in the kind of business that we have and that you have. And
no.
so another reason for taking extra care in the way that we're talking about to nurture their relationship.
Well, that leads me straight to a question in the chat room, which was how about maintaining relationships via social media?
You mean like Twitter and Facebook?
Twitter and Facebook and all of those things. And I know y'all are really good about chatting with other people, me included, on Facebook. But I think that is the question. So how do you maintain these relationships with your social media?
It's you know, the truth is, yes we
I'm
do.
I'm really
that.
Bad at it.
Really?
I do it more than Lane does. It's challenging. It's another one of those dynamics that is important to understand and to have some point of participation with. But I think if you're not careful, you can spend too much time on social media
mm-hmm.
engaged in activity that isn't really productive.
Right.
You know, there's a difference, I think, between the kind of post on Facebook, for example, well, I'm going out to walk my dog now.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a great walk with my dog just
right.
now. As opposed to providing something that could actually be a value or inspiration to someone.
Right.
So we try to make our communications via social media something that could actually be meaningful to someone.
It's a way of
yeah.
giving a gift to someone, not just informing them about your me reality and what you're thinking and what you had for lunch. Because most people who, you know, go to your Facebook page, they really don't care.
I know. Every once in a while,
and,
I will post
don't...
something like that, you know. But most of the times, I'm like Paul. I'll try to post something, you know, a really great quote or an inspirational phrase
right.
or something. And I get a lot of comments on those. People really do enjoy them.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, since you have redesigned our site and our blog, I am almost ashamed to say that our last post on our blog was March 18th, which is right before we started the project of looking for someone to, like, redesign everything and do our makeover. And, you know, we only have so many energy units. and where we
put
them.
That's a good way to put it.
It's like you can start to feel really spread thin. But now I'm feeling excited to kind of restart our blog, and I post. We used to do a photo of the week on Friday. Well, I posted one last night, and I made it for last Friday, since today is this Friday, and I wanted to have something a little bit back there. I've gotten two or three messages from people on Facebook about that photograph and how it affected them.
I also think it goes back to what we talked about in the earlier part of this conversation is meeting coaches and mentors.
Uh-huh.
Social media is a new thing. And I can see that we could really use, personally, we could use social media coaches, you know, that can coach us in expanding our capacity to relate in that domain because it's not familiar to us.
Yeah. And you're right. I'm actually teaching that.
Yeah.
Oh, you are. Oh,
well,
that's great.
You're hired.
At the Virtual Assistants University.
There's an art to it, right? Isn't there an art to it?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, there's an art to it, and a lot of it is very technical. You have to know exactly what to do, when to do it, how to link, how to cross-link, how to set something up to where you never need to touch it again, and the things that do need attention.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's very much an art to it. But
well,
it's also a series of processes.
We weren't born knowing how to do that. Somebody's got to teach us.
It's like it's so new. And to be honest, as infopreneurs, if you will, and coaches and mentors and trainers, people who we are involved in delivering a message to the world, to our readers, to our clients, and to our students, that's our primary job. And part of the beauty of the virtual assistance industry is that it's imperative that people like ourselves learn to delegate. And that's the beauty of having a really great virtual assistant, and it's something that Brenda is doing for us more and more, and that is taking care of our social media.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have, as infopreneurs, internet netpreneurs, we don't have to do everything. And so that's another part of the relationship configuration is having people that you can trust to take care of your brand in the public arena.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, I'm a virtual assistant. I'm a web developer. I have a team doing some of this work for me as well. I mean, you just have to be able to. You can't do everything on your own. Now, I know that we were going to be talking about the five stages that all relationships go through, and I keep asking questions and getting you off track, and I'm sorry. Did we cover everything? I apologize right now.
Yeah, we touched on it.
I know we covered one and two, I think.
Well, there's attraction, power struggle, and then cooperation, and then synergy, and then there's the completion stage. And the hardest two stages are power struggle and completion, and there are specific skills that you need to have, may overlap a little bit, but there are distinct skills, between 10 and 20 skills per stage that people need to learn. Really, we're not born knowing how to do these things. We mostly learn how to do relationships from watching the grown-ups do it when we were little, by modeling. If they were really good at it, we're in good shape. But if they weren't very good at it, we're very limited. And that's why a lot of people need to learn new skills about relationships, because they don't know what they don't know.
And where would they learn these skills with you?
Well, we have a whole library of materials in our bookstore, on our website, books. We've written several books, one of which was a bestseller a few years ago called You're Never Upset for the Reason You Think. And we've basically developed five tracks of education. And one has to do with communication, high performance, authentic communication. The second has to do with enlightened conflict resolution, having the skills to resolve upsets and disagreements and misunderstandings and miscommunications with people is a critical skill for running a successful business online or offline or in your personal life. Emotional well-being and vitality is the third track. There's a body of knowledge that we call Secrets and Strategies for Successful Relationships, which teaches principles for understanding the hidden dynamics of relationships, and that's track four. And track five is everything. It's all of that stuff. And the things that constitute these tracks are books and workbooks and audio programs and multimedia video programs, and they're all on our bookstore. That's one way that people can learn. And, of course, we do group coaching programs, and we have a private coaching practice where we work with people one-on-one. And then as a couple, Lane and I will work with a romantic partnership or a business partnership in their business relationship. We work with couples and family-owned businesses.
Okay, so that's paulandlane.com. Paul and Lane, L-A-Y-N-E. I love that spelling. Paulandlane.com. It's not a normal spelling. I think it's so pretty.
Thank you, Lane.
What are some common mistakes that people make that just put their virtual relationships, we're going to go with a garden metaphor, in the weeds? What do you see the most often?
Well, going back to they tend to think of and treat other people more like they're objects that exist to give you what you need. You don't relate with people like they're real people with real feelings. That's the biggest one. In a virtual relationship, you know, it's a lot easier to offend people without knowing you've offended them because you don't have the same visual clues. So you have to pay attention, and you really have to listen to people. If your virtual relationship is on the phone, you have to listen deeply to people. You have to ask questions and check your assumptions to make sure that you have a common understanding of something. Check-ins where you just want to check in and say, is everything going okay? Is there anything that I need to do differently to make this work better for you? You don't want to assume that things are going well. Some people can be very loud and communicative about their criticisms, and other people, they feel bad if you're working really hard for them and you don't do it quite right. They don't want to hurt your feelings. Mm. So people, their communication is a little bit more challenged in a virtual relationship. So you have to avoid assumptions. You need to check in with people, get a reality check, ask them questions, don't assume.
Right. And that's not to say that you're not going to always get along 100% with somebody. I mean, we all have clients that are just not a good fit, period. And there's no reason not to let them go, but let them go with grace and dignity is what I say.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And one of the things that we were surprised to discover is how ineffective it is to try and resolve upsets through email. It's one of the worst mistakes that people make. They, you get in a tit for tat, right and wrong. No, that's not what I said. Blah 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 blah, blah. And it exacerbates the aggression or the acrimony. And if you can just pick up the phone and they can hear your voice, and you can say, you know, I'm really sorry that happened. You could write, I'm sorry that happened, and they could hear it or read it as, well, I'm sorry that that happened. Mm-hmm. Your voice tone can make a huge difference. So if there's a breakdown in communication, if there's a misunderstanding or an upset, pick up the phone and say, I care about our relationship. I want to make sure that we both feel great about it. And I kind of got the impression, I'm not so sure, that maybe we had a misunderstanding. So I just wanted to call and check in.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, the conversation is going and things are all better. And at night when you're going to bed, you think, wow, that was so nice that person picked up the phone and called me.
Right, right. And that does happen. I mean, you can get crossways in an email really quickly, especially if you're, you know, overworked or you think the person on the other end of the keyboard is just not understanding you.
Right.
Take the time, take a breath, check your irritability at the door, and
there
pick up
go.
The phone and say, hey, you know, what can we do to get this worked out?
Exactly.
It's amazing, and it's astonishing to me how many people won't do that.
I know, you know.
What's the holdup there? You know?
It's like
some
things just seem like common sense to me.
Well, there you go. That's the problem.
It's not
right
always the case with everyone,
yeah.
You know. Not everyone was raised with manners. Not everyone has the kind of moves that we're talking about in their
right
relationships. And that's why we're in business.
Exactly. You and me both. So that's one of the tools that you guys recommend for tending the garden of relationships. Do you have any others?
Well,
that's a great tool. I mean, that to me should be number one.
One of them is understanding that relationships live in language. And what we mean by that is that we are linguistic beings, and that the power of the word, the power of our language, is such that it can bring into existence new realities. That new reality can be an upset, or it could be a wonderful experience. So Lane has mentioned several times in our conversation today the danger of treating people like they are objects.
Mm-hmm.
And our language is such that people in relationships are objectified. I have a relationship, like I have a car, I have a house, I have this vase, I have a table, I have a wife, I have a husband. And the very structure of the language tends to objectify people like they are objects. But the truth is, relationships are a space of possibilities that is limited by the culture that we live in, by our beliefs, and by language. And so becoming better communicators can only enhance our relationships. And that's why that's the first step in our systematic curriculum, is learning to listen better and learning to speak authentically from the heart. And there's a whole curriculum that we have about that called Learning Heart-to-Heart Talks from our book, Straight from the Heart.
Yeah, I put that information in the chat room earlier. Listen, we are close to the edge of the hour. Can we take a question in the chat room? Do y'all have time?
Oh, sure.
Sure.
Okay, well, I plugged somebody in a little while ago, several somebodies, and we'll see if it took. This is Denise. I'm here with Paul and Lane. Do you have a question? Hello? See, this is Blog Talk Radio. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I love Blog Talk Radio.
The frontier. We're on the,
going to happen.
We're on the unknown frontier.
That's right, we are. So listen, I understand that y'all have a certain page on your website that you want to send people to. Can you tell us what that is?
Sure. It's a special offer that we're making for people who are listening to this call, and it's paulandlane.com. So write this down. I'll go slow. paulandlane.com/special, and then another forward slash, and then the letters YNU, short for You're Never Upset, -DG. Like Denise Griffiths.
There you go.
.htm. So I'll say that again. paulandlane.com/special/YNU-DG.htm. And you'll see a very special offer there for some of the materials that we have been talking about here to make your real face-to-face relationships and your virtual relationships much more enjoyable and fulfilling and successful.
Well, you guys have given us some great, great relationship tips today. I do have one question in the chat room, though, and it says, I know they are mostly talking about business and virtual relationships, but how about any tips on personal relationships? Now, you knew that was coming. Because they're all one and the same, literally.
If you have a business relationship,
it is a personal relationship.
If it's not,
it darn well should be at some level.
Well, there are a lot of things that we have to say about it, and it fills, you know, up most of our books. But I would say one of the most important skills in relationship is to be able to observe your interpretations. Human beings make meanings, and we believe the meanings that we make up. And oftentimes the meanings that we make up are not true. We live in stories. We live in interpretations of what somebody said or somebody did or didn't say or didn't do, and we unconsciously make choices and relate with people out of interpretations that we have made that we have not observed. And so it's a skill to be able to watch your mind and watch, what do I believe about this person? What did I interpret when they showed up 5 minutes late, or what did I interpret when they picked up the phone and called me because they thought there might be a problem?
And so what we do when we don't recognize, as Lane is saying, that we make interpretations is we take it for fact. We take it as if it is the truth and that is the way that it is, and it causes us to develop judgments, which is an interpretation also.
Mm-hmm.
So powerful what Lane is saying is to question our own thinking. Maybe you've seen the bumper sticker. They have them here in Santa Fe. Don't believe everything you think.
No, but I like that.
Isn't that good?
It is. But, you know, y'all, and I had a thought when you were saying that, because it is very, very powerful what Lane is saying. And one of the things that I've noticed if I'm having any kind of an interaction with my husband that could kind of sort of be called an argument, I'm not going to call it that, but what I find is that every single time without fail that his interpretation of an event diametrically opposed to mine. And I'll be looking at him and saying, did you see what I saw? Were we in the same room? What the heck? And then I have to back up and say, wait a minute, he's having the same sense of disbelief that I am. So let's negotiate here. So is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's actually...
I got it.
You got it. But that kind of miscommunication is like a breakdown that you can transform into a breakthrough. You can develop intimacy if you actually start to share your different interpretations. You can really get to know someone better if you do that. But a lot of people don't do it.
And the key is to be genuinely curious about their perception.
Yeah, how did he arrive at that? Because he's wrong. So how did he do it? I hope he's not listening today.
He just laughed.
Yeah, he's going to come home and move my car around the block so I can't find it and tell me it was stolen.
That's funny.
But, you know, it's true. I mean, if you stop and sort of examine where, you know, why they're seeing something that's so different from you, then you can't even argue because you're so fascinated with that mindset.
Exactly.
It almost distracts you from the argument. What? It wasn't an argument. It was a disagreement.
Well, you know, and one of the things out of being willing and capable of doing that, of being genuinely interested to set aside your own rightness for a moment, and hopefully they have the same level of curiosity, you can very often arrive at a completely previously inconceivable interpretation that would not have been available had you not been able to have that level of conversation with each other to arrive at something better than either one of you were seeing or interpreting.
Independently.
Yeah.
Independently. So look at it as an exploration together, a journey.
Exactly. And that was a part of mine and Lane's experiment in the beginning of our relationship. We started off knowing, okay, whatever, we don't know how to do relationships successfully. That's a given. We have lots of evidence for that. we don't know what it takes to create a successful relationship. So let's engage together to find out and see if it is possible and if we can learn how to do it. And that was, so that was an attitude present in the beginning of our relationship that we have endeavored to nurture and grow throughout our 30 plus years together. So we take very little for granted in our life and our relationship, and it has kept that sense of curiosity and openness and wonder alive, and I think that's one of the biggest reasons that we have been able to grow a successful personal romantic relationship as lovers, as creative partners, because we're both very creative, and as business partners. That's a lot of, it could be a lot of stress on a lot, on many relationships.
I would think it would be. When I actually read that intro, I had to read it twice and said, did they really say that? Said this was an experiment. I almost called you in question. Are you sure? Am I supposed to say this?
Yeah, it was an experiment that turned out well.
It did. I mean, if y'all been together 32 years, you have a lot to teach other people. No question about it. Well, listen, thank you
so much. Sometimes we pinch ourselves.
I bet. Well, you know, in these days, it's so common for people, very young people, you know, in their early 30s to have one or two, three marriages behind them.
That's right.
It's not uncommon. It's sad. But anyway, thank you, Paul and Lane, so much for being here with me today. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you. And we didn't get, you know, through as much as I would have liked to. I may have to get you to come back another time. In fact, I would like for you to come back another time.
We actually have quite a bit more to say on this subject.
any time. We had a great time with you too, Denise, and thank you for inviting us to be here. And we would love to come back any time.
And thank you for our beautiful new website.
We're thrilled. Well, the genius is yours. You know, we started with the genius that was your energy and your thoughts. And, I mean, I'm pleased with it. I think it's really a beautiful site and does what you need it to do. And I am so glad that you guys are happy with it. That's the most important thing.
Thank you.
So, anyway, for those of you who are listening, go to Paul and Lane. Paul and Lane is spelled PaulandLayne.com. And look at their beautiful new website. So, Paul, Lane, thank you so much. I will send you an email thanking you again and telling you what dates I have, I think in October, November, and we'll get you back so we can talk about so many other things that are virtual and, you know, in relationships and just things that people really, really do need to know. So thank you, everybody, for being here. The show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and Paul and Lane Cutright wishing you a wonderful weekend. And I'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Take good care.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.